I want to share with you quickly this morning about the blessing and the favor of the Lord. I started on New Year's Eve. For those of you who were here on New Year's Eve, you had the intro already. So if you weren't here, maybe you want to go back sometime this week and just have a look at it on YouTube. But we looked at the intro quickly. I'm sure when you look at this past year and what you've been through and how far you've come and everything that's happened in your life, there are times when you and I look back and we think, how did I make it through this year? Maybe for some of the business people, you're thinking, you know, how did I meet that person or get that deal? Or where did that idea come from? And I want to say to you today, it's not just good fortune or a lucky break, because sometimes we look at these things and we think, man, that was just so lucky. Oh no, that was Almighty God. That was His hand upon you in that situation. That was His favor. Listen to what the Bible says here in Psalm 44, and it's talking about the Israelites. And it says, they did not conquer by their own strength and skill, but by your mighty power, and because you smiled upon them and favored them. So in other words, they didn't do that on their own. They didn't accomplish it in their own strength, in their own power. It was God's favor, God's hand upon them. And so you probably wouldn't even be where you are today if it wasn't for God's favor upon your life, God's hand in some way. And maybe you're not even aware of how much His favor is already upon you. But let me tell you, it's there, it's there. So you say, what is favor? Well, favor can be defined as receiving preferential treatment or special privileges. The favor of God can also be described as the tangible evidence that a person has the approval of God. You look at their lives and you can just see God's hand, God's approval upon them. You see, favor causes us to defy the odds. You may find yourself in a position at work that's just way above you, but somehow you're excelling in that position. Why? Because of His favor. You don't have the experience, you don't have the education, but what you do have is favor. Maybe you have a small little business. You don't have all the staff that some of these big businesses and big corporates have. You don't have the equipment, you don't have the marketing budget and all of that. But I want to remind you, you have favor. And when you realize what you have, you don't go out each day intimidated by the size of the opposition or intimidated by the size of your problems. No, there's a quiet confidence and a courage on the inside, because somehow you just know, my God defies the odds. Nothing limits God. Nothing can limit Him. And so God can cause things to happen in your life and in my life that there's no ways we'll be able to do on our own. Now, there are a few things that can limit or even block God's favor upon our lives. There are a couple of things, but I want to quickly share one with you this morning, and it's this: unbelief. When we're not trusting God for that, when we don't have faith for that, remember how Jesus could do no miracles in His hometown. Why? Because there was something wrong with Him? Because He didn't have enough anointing? Oh no. Because of, the Bible says, their unbelief. And so faith is a key element if we're going to see more of God's favor manifest in our lives. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 3. It says, see to it, brothers, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart. A sinful, unbelieving heart. And so all I'm doing this morning, I'm just wanting to stir your heart. I'm just wanting to stir your faith this morning, that you go out of this place and you start trusting for more of God's favor. You start expecting for more of His favor. You know, one of the businessmen was telling me some time ago how he's been trying to get into a certain company, big company in South Africa. It's an international company, and they supplied by an overseas company. And he's trying to supply them, but they're not interested in him. He's too small, and besides, they're being supplied over there. And so he's kept on calling on them and kept good relations going and kept trusting God and saying, God, I need favor. If I can just get my foot in the door. Well, this went on for months. And suddenly, out of the blue, one day, they called him up. And they said, you know, there's a snag overseas with our supplier. Is it possible that maybe you can supply us? Well, what a question. Absolutely. You see, and it wasn't because his company was so big and influential or anything like that. It's because our God is so big and influential. God can open doors for you that you'll never be able to open on your own. And so if we're going to see more of God's favor upon our lives, we can't go around negative and complaining and moaning about this and about that. That's the opposite of faith. Remember that. Hebrews chapter 10 says, my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back in fear, I will not be pleased with him. God needs our faith. God takes our faith. It enables him. It enables him to go to work on our behalf. And so you've got to give God faith. Remember the story of Nehemiah in the Old Testament? I'll give you a little bit of background quickly. The Babylonians came in and attacked Israel, destroyed Jerusalem, leveled it to the ground, and took the Israelites away into exile. And so 70 years later, this is basically a generation if you think about it, they allowed 50,000 Israelites to return, to go back home and to go and rebuild Jerusalem. Then 90 years after that, they allowed another 1,800, much smaller group, but they allowed them to go back and to rebuild. And they started rebuilding the city, and they did really well, but they never rebuilt the walls because it was kilometers of walling that they had to put up, massive big walls. And so it was just a task that was just too big for them. And the problem is it left them open, vulnerable to attacks from the enemy. Now, at that time, Nehemiah was still in Babylon serving in the king's court. He was the king's cupbearer, meaning he had to taste the king's wine to check if there wasn't any poison or anything in it. So he never knew if this was his last drink or not, you know. But that was what he did. And so when he heard that the walls hadn't been rebuilt, but the city is built and they're doing so well, man, something rose up on the inside of him. And he just felt, no, man, you know, they need to do that. Maybe I need to go and do this. Now, in the natural, it was a crazy idea. Because firstly, Jerusalem was 1,000 kilometers away. It wasn't close by. And besides, he didn't have the money to do it. He wasn't even one of their leaders. He wasn't seen as a leader. He didn't have construction experience or anything like that. But something just welled up on the inside, and he felt, man, let's do something about it. And that's when stuff happens. Even in our country, even in our neighborhood, where we decide, you know, I'm sick and tired of the pavements looking like this. Let's do something about it. You know, we have potholes in our road. Let's do something about it. And that's basically what happened. So he goes to the king. Of course, he's got to ask permission to be released to go. King says to him, no problem. But he doesn't stop there. He asks the king for a letter that he could present to all the leaders of the different tribes and groups that he would pass through, that would just give him safe passage And so the king says, no problem, I'll give you a letter, because now he's sent by the king. But he doesn't stop there. He asks the king for some building material. Oh, what a cheek. So he asks if he can have a letter to the guy who operates the king's forest, because we're probably going to need some wood for the huge big gates and the beams and stuff like that. And you know, I can imagine the king thinking, now you're pushing it. But he says, okay, no problem, no problem. And so he leaves that day, not only with the protection of the king, but the provision of the king. And listen to what Nehemiah says. He says, and the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. He knew it wasn't because he was so olic. It was because of God's hand. And what did we say last week, New Year's Eve? When you read in the Bible the right hand of God, it's referring to his power, his might, and his authority. But when you just read about the hand of God, or the gracious hand of God, it's referring to his protection, his provision, also to his favor. And so what Nehemiah is saying, he's saying, it was because of God's favor on me that the king granted these things. Listen, friends, you may not have the resources. You may not have the experience or even the right connections that you think you need. And so you look at your situation, and in the natural, you don't have what it takes. But I want to say to you today, in the supernatural, you do. And when you realize what you have, and you get your faith into gear, in other words, you start trusting God for that, you're going to see things happen this coming year that you never even thought is possible. You're going to look back in a year's time and say, how did that happen? The favor of God upon our lives. When Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, he did a quick reconnaissance trip around the city. I don't think it was that quick, because it was a couple of kilometers that he had to go around. And he discovered that the situation was more dire than what he had realized. Those walls had been flattened. The gates and the beams had been burnt. And he was hoping that they would have to repair some of these gates. But they'd been destroyed. And so he started getting people together and started encouraging them to help him to rebuild the wall. And I'm sure in their minds, they were probably thinking, have you seen how bad the situation is? Do you now understand why we haven't rebuilt it? You've been sitting in Babylon sipping too much wine, man. You know. And so, but you know what he did? He started telling them how the king gave him favor. And listen to this. He says to them, I also told them about the gracious hand of God, of my God upon me, and what the king has said to me. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. Why did he tell them about what God had done? To encourage them, to build their faith. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do this morning. I want to encourage you. I'm trying to build your faith. I'm telling you stories of other people who've experienced favor in the Bible and real life sitting right here amongst us. Why? Because when you and I hear that, what happens? Something wells up on the inside. Faith. That's what it's called. And we start thinking, man, if God could do it for them, God can do it for me. If God could do that for me last year, or remember what he did the year before, then God can do it again for us. I believe God is moved when you and I come with simple, childlike faith, trusting him. That's exactly what Jesus did. Remember how often he commended people for their faith? How Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Had they not had faith, they wouldn't have experienced that healing. You and I walk around without faith, without trusting God. We may not experience the same level of favor than what God wants to do for us with faith. That's why Jesus said in John 14, he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing, and he will do even greater things than these. God responds to our faith. He needs our faith. So let's get back to the story of Nehemiah. They start rebuilding the wall. But they encountered so much opposition, it was crazy. They had influential people come against them. They had bandits trying to attack them. They had people trying to spread stories and rumors and stuff like that. Yuri is right in the center of God's will, doing what God had called him to do. God had already provided for him. And now it looks like, look, you know, now everything's going wrong. And there will be times in your life and in my life where we face so much opposition that we're tempted to think God can't be in this thing. Maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. But it doesn't mean that God is not in it. Because think about this for a moment. We've just come out of Christmas time celebrating Christmas. When God sent Jesus to this earth, do you think that was part of God's plan? Do you think God was in that? Absolutely, all over it. And yet, there was so much opposition. Herod tried to kill Jesus. Jesus was on the hit list. And so just because you and I face some challenges and some opposition doesn't mean God is not in it. Don't ever get discouraged and lose hope and keep going. God can use that situation and turn it around. Use it to your advantage. And this is what Nehemiah and the people around him did. They kept going and kept going. And do you know they ended up rebuilding those walls that should have taken an entire year to do? They did in 52 days. What should have taken 52 weeks took them 52 days. You see, friends, that's what happens when God's favor is upon us. He'll take care of your opposition. Doesn't mean you won't have opposition. God will take care of that. He'll cause you to complete tasks that should take a lot longer, and you end up doing it in a lot shorter time. He'll help you solve issues that when you look at it now, it's a mountain. Before you know, you're over it, and you look back and you say, how did I get over this? God's favor, God's favor. All right, now, how do we obtain the favor of the Lord? I've already given you the first one, faith, believing. You've got to trust God for that, all right? There's number one. I'm going to give you two this morning, just two steps. The first one is you've got to believe. Here's the second one. Start speaking favor over your life. Number two, start speaking favor over your life. When you face an enemy of lack, or an enemy of discouragement, or maybe an enemy of opposition, whatever it is, even health-wise, do not talk about the size of the enemy. Don't give life to that. Talk about the size of your God. We've got to keep focusing on how big our God is. We've got to keep focusing on the fact that God's hand is upon our lives. Somebody says to you, how are you going to get out of debt? I don't know, but I know God's hand is upon me. Well, how are you going to go to the next level in your business? I'm not sure, but I know God's hand is upon me. How are you going to raise the balance of the money for the new church? I don't know, but I know His hand has been upon this church the last 100 years, and His hand is still upon us. Amen? Come on, let's give God a big hand. Now, here's what I want you to hear. The more you speak it, the more you hear it, the more faith rises on the inside. That's why we've got to speak it. That's why we've got to declare it, is so that our faith rises, so that God has something to work with. You see, this is what faith is all about. You cannot wait for things to change. Oh, now I'm speaking favor. Now look at what's happened. It doesn't work that way. You've got to start speaking faith before it's even materialized, so that you can believe it on the inside, so that you can walk in it. It starts with speaking it, because that's the thing that builds your faith. If Nehemiah was walking around saying, man, I don't have the resources. How on earth am I going to do this? Nor do I have the experience. I'm not even the leader of these people. I'm sipping wine here, you know. If he'd gone around saying that, we'd never been reading about him today. We wouldn't even know who he is. And there's a possibility that maybe some of you have been disqualifying yourself from the blessings and the favor of God because you've been walking around saying the wrong things. And so I'm asking you today, stop speaking death over your situation. Stop focusing on how big your mountain is, focusing on how impossible the situation is. Stop looking at the natural. Raise your eyes. Start looking at the supernatural. Start speaking life. Start trusting for God's favor upon your life. And this is what Nehemiah did. With all the challenges, all the opposition, they just kept going and they rebuilt those walls. And today we read about him in Hebrews 11 as one of the heroes of faith. He goes down in history as a hero. We know him as one of the prophets in the Old Testament. Why? Because he trusted God. I want to say to you, negative thoughts come to every single person, just like temptation. You cannot stop it from coming, but you can certainly stop speaking that over your life. And so the key is not to verbalize it. Don't give life to negative things. If I want to suggest, if you can't say something positive, then don't say anything at all. All right? So don't sit at the lunch table this afternoon. Somebody says something negative. Hey, Leonard said, if you can't say something positive, shut up. No, what I said. If you can't say something positive, it's very similar to what you just said, all right? Don't say anything at all. You cannot speak negative over your life or your finances or your business and expect to have positive. Come on. You can't speak death and expect to have life. You can't speak defeat and expect to have victory. Start declaring favor over your life. Proverbs 6 says, you are snared. Another word for that is entrapped by the words of your mouth. Do you know that you can talk yourself right out of faith? Oh yeah. We all have. You know, we talk ourselves right out of faith. You can talk yourself right out of a healing, right out of what God wants to do. You see, negative things can keep you from your God-given destiny. How would you feel if you knew that you missed out on stuff the last few weeks? Maybe a promotion, maybe a contract that you could have had, maybe the sale of your house that you could have had, a breakthrough in a relationship that's been strained for a long time. Instead of speaking faith, instead of speaking favor, you've been going around speaking negative. And you haven't given God anything to work with. Come on. I'm sharing this with us today to remind you of God's favor. I want to stir your heart. I want to stir your faith this morning. You may not have all the education. You may not have all the experience. You may not have, you know, the best business plan. But I want to say to you, you have the best on your side. You have the best on your side. Never, ever forget that. And so when you're tempted to say negative things, why don't you flip it around? Because we all tend at times. We go down that road, flip it around, and start declaring favor. God, you said in your word, I've been crowned with favor. And if you don't know what we're talking about, I covered this New Year's Eve. Go and look at it. You said in your word that your favor lasts for a lifetime. God, thank you that your favor is on me, is upon my family, is upon my children, Lord, is upon my business. What are you busy doing? Are you reminding God of favor? Oh no, God doesn't need no reminding. Reminding you and me that favor is upon us. And as we do that, faith rises on the inside. And that's what God needs to get to work on our behalf. Amen. Are you glad you came today? Amen. Come on, let's stand. I want to pray for us. Two things I've left with you this morning. Number one, you've got to believe for favor. You've got to realize what His Word says, who I am. God has put favor upon me. Believe that and stop speaking death. Start speaking, start declaring favor. Just start doing that over your life and you'll see what will happen. Father, thank you so much. You are a good, good Father. We are blessed beyond measure. Just the fact that we belong to this church, that this is our spiritual home, that we can come here week after week and you speak to us. What a privilege. Thank you again for the deposit you've made in our hearts this morning. Help us, Lord, as we walk out of this place now to apply this in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you.